a soldier who fights for his country. On the fourth anniversary of the martyrdom of top IRGC General Qasem Soleimani, we broadcast a three-part series to introduce this well-known Iranian general to a wider public. In this program, the second of this three-part series, we focus on General Qasem Soleimani's role in the Islamic Revolution of 1978-1979 and the eight-year imposed war on Iran in the 1980s. Please stay with us. As the Islamic Revolution swept across Iran in 1978-1979, everyone was talking about the revolution and its charismatic leader, Imam Ruhollah Mousavi Khomeini, may God bless his soul. But in the small village of Qanat Malik in Kerman province, in southern Iran, few people had access to radio or television, and thus news of what was happening in the rest of the country was rather scarce. At that time, the young Qasem Soleimani was 22 years old. He was young, enthusiastic, and a true revolutionary, and he used to distribute photographs of Imam Khomeini among the local residents of the village, telling them about the many announcements that the Imam had made. In fact, the young Qasem Soleimani became one of the organizers and coordinators of the anti-Pahlavi regime demonstrations, protests, and general strikes in the city of Kerman in southeastern Iran. Please stay with us. Qasem Soleimani has recounted those tumultuous days of the Islamic Revolution in his personal diary, writing, "It was early 1978 and I had passed my driving test after several attempts and I was about to receive my driving license. I went to my local driving center to collect my driving license. The police officer there was named Azari Nasab and he told me to come in and sit down. Officer Azari Nasab turned to me and said, 'Your driving license is ready. You can collect it now. It has been signed by Khomeini himself.' I didn't quite get what he meant by that sarcastic remark. I was led into an empty room and two army officers entered after me and immediately started to push me around, hit me in the face and kick me. They also swore at me. I was caught in their trap and escape was impossible. After a thorough beating, I lied on the floor with a bloody nose and a bloody face. They had kicked me and punched me so badly that I was unable to move. One of the two officers then stood on my stomach and used his heavy army boots to kick my stomach so hard that it felt like all my internal organs were bleeding. I became unconscious. Despite being young and athletic and a practitioner of weightlifting and karate, I ran out of stamina and energy. I was so badly beaten, I couldn't move for 3 days. But at the end of it all, I felt a new energy surge. My fear of being beaten and tortured evaporated. And it was almost as if, with every kick and every punch I had received, the word Khomeini was etched in my mind and hacked in my soul. I became fearless and a true revolutionary. I said whatever I wanted to say and I was afraid of no one." Thank you. Mata Soleimani regarded the Islamic Revolution of 1979 as a complex and deep-rooted phenomena. He always used to say that the factor which guaranteed the success of the revolution for several decades was Islam, genuine Muhammadian Islam. It was the Iranian people's firm belief in Islam which navigated them safely through the turbulent waters and made them overcome all enemy conspiracies and plots. Soon after the fall of the Pahlavi regime and the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Qasem Soleimani joined a unit of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC. In 1980, the eight-year-imposed war on Iran started, and Qasem Soleimani and his colleagues rushed to the war front to defend the fledgling Islamic Republic and the ideals of the Islamic Revolution. They staunchly fought for their country, giving everything that they had. 8 years of sacred defense is undoubtedly one of the most important and unique chapters in Iranian history. Some of the most prominent personalities, cultural and intellectual figures of the Islamic Revolution played a part in 8 years of sacred defense. They presented to the world a special type of religious and Islamic lifestyle during the sacred defense years. Iran's soldier, Qasem Soleimani, was certainly a pioneer in the culture of sacred defense, and Soleimani played a very important role in those years of warfare. Soon after the fall of the Pahlavi regime and the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Qasem Soleimani joined a unit of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, in 1979. He joined the Quds training section of the IRGC headquarters in Kerman. He became an instructor at the IRGC base in Kerman. Commander Qurbani, a senior commander during the Iran-Iraq War and one of Qasem Soleimani's superior officers, recalls, "The night before the operation was due to start, and before we went to the front lines, Soleimani approached me and said, 'I must accompany my troops to the front line.' I wasn't keen on the idea and told him to substitute his second-in-command for himself. But Qasem Soleimani insisted that he wanted to accompany his forces to the front lines. And when the go-ahead for the operation was given, Soleimani and his battalion immediately attacked enemy lines and fierce fighting broke out. Qasem Soleimani's battalion managed to break through enemy lines and soon they were attacking the enemy's second line. But shortly afterwards, news of the martyrdom of the head of the battalion circulated. I dispatched several people to the front lines and told them to bring back Soleimani in any way that they could. I next met Soleimani at the Accidents and Emergency Department of Susangerd Hospital. He was lying on a bed unconscious. His right arm was badly injured by bullets and shrapnel. Some shrapnel had also entered his chest and he was bleeding internally. I ordered an ambulance to take him to a bigger and better equipped hospital in the city of Ahwaz in southwestern Iran, where he could receive better medical treatment. About 3 weeks later, I saw him at the IRGC headquarters in Kerman. Apparently, he had been transferred from Ahwaz to a hospital in Tehran, and there they had treated the serious injuries to his right arm. But before he had time to fully recover, he decided to discharge himself from the hospital and went straight back to the front line, with his right hand hanging from a bandage to his neck. It was right then that I decided to introduce Qasem Soleimani to the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, Commander Mohsen Rezaei. I told Mohsen Rezaei, "Mr. Soleimani is both courageous and highly capable and can easily command a brigade." And sure enough, Mohsen Rezai appointed Qasem Soleimani as the commanding officer of the Sar Allah Brigade. Qasem Soleimani was involved in many of the key operations of the eight-year war. Among them, he commanded a brigade of the Walfaj 8, Karbala 4, and Karbala 5 operations. He was injured twice during the war, one of them very seriously. Wisdom, intellect, and expediency were all highly visible in Qasem Soleimani. When it came to the enemy, he was really strong-headed and was not flexible. And he took a hard-line approach. It is common practice in wartime that senior commanders are usually stationed 20 to 30 kilometers from the troops that they command in the front lines. Very few senior commanders actually serve in the front line itself. But Haj Qasem Soleimani was a senior commander who always insisted on accompanying his troops in the front line. He was always there in the front line, in person, heading the operation that he commanded. He was a commanding officer and a real friend to all those who served under him. He knew and remembered the name of every single soldier, one of the 1,500 men who served under him. He knew the family circumstances of every single soldier who served under him, and when giving a lecture or presentation, he used to notice if one of his men was absent, and he always wanted to know the reason for this absence. Qasem Soleimani was more than just a commander. He was a true friend of every soldier who served under him.